we're back down at the Fun Fly Zone. You're listening to EA Radio 96.5 on the FM, 1210 on the AM, and on the net at eaaradio.net. And we're streaming there 24/7, 365 days a year, as well as right here at AirVenture all week long. We're down in the Fun Fly Zone. You might know it as Ultralights for you Oshkosh veterans. A lot of flying going on down here. Helicopters are buzzing around like crazy. We're told, Tim says, the numbers are up this year on the rotorcraft equipment, so that keeps them busy when we're down here in the area from 1 to 2. Every year we're here, and this has been a nice Friday. And we've got a fellow here named Andy Corsetti. Andy, hello. How are
you? Hello, everybody.
Good to have you with us. And you're from South Florida, Pembroke Pines, right?
From Pembroke Pines. That's where I live. I flew out of Okeechobee, Florida to come up here to Oshkosh.
Okeechobee. Yeah. And when you say flew out of there to come up to Oshkosh, you mean that you flew your ultralight to Oshkosh, right?
Yeah. It's a light plane. It's an Aeropract A20. I converted it to an open cockpit airplane because I wanted that real ultralight type experience. I'm used to flying a Drifter, MU-582 Drifter, which is completely open. And my A20 normally has a canopy on it, which is a big plexiglass, you know, greenhouse. And I wanted that open air, true ultralight experience on this long flight. And I did some modifications so I could do that.
Now, give our listeners a little bit of perspective. What type of engine is on that plane?
I have a Rotax 912S. It's a 100 horsepower engine, four-stroke engine, plenty of power for this airplane.
Very capable, yeah.
It's a 645-pound empty weight airplane, so it's not heavy at all. 1320 gross, fits right into the light sport rules. And it's a tandem seat pusher. So that pusher means the engine's in the back, tractor, the engine would be in the front. Tandem seating. So the pilot seat and even the passenger seat is actually out in front of the wing. The passenger, his head would be just in front of the leading edge of the wing, but the pilot sits way out in front. And having an open cockpit, I've got, I don't know, a 270, to, at least 180, but probably a 270 degree open view. Nothing obstructing my view whatsoever, and it's a blast. It's the best.
Do you feel like you're basically sitting out on the front of a boom?
Yes, less so than when I was flying my Drifter, especially when I flew my Drifter without the little nose cone on it, because you're literally just looking at your feet out there in space in front of you on the rudder pedals. Now, this one has a little fiberglass kind of like pod that I sit in, but yeah, that's you're out there on the end of a boom pretty much, yep.
And that's not a short trip, and you did this trip with a unique setup camera-wise, didn't you?
With camera-wise,
is this camera contraption?
No, that's John's. That is a unique setup. John and I were just discussing that because he puts that on his powered parachute, and I think that's fantastic. But I have a GoPro camera too. But I did something a little different. I didn't have anything hard mounted on the airplane, and I had a little monopod with fold-up legs on it, so I could make it about a foot and a half long. And I had my GoPro camera mounted on the end of that, much like this microphone has this muff on the top of it. So I held it in my hand like this microphone, but instead of a muff, I had the camera right there. And so that was pretty neat, you know, trying to fly the airplane. You're supposed to keep one hand on the stick, one hand on the throttle, and one hand on the camera. There's only one problem. We only got two hands. So, but I managed.
Well, you're here, obviously.
I'm here, right.
And some of your video, it looks like one of the guys stopped by on during our break and said that there's a video of you flying at eaavideo.org/ultralights. So, and Tim, I think you were saying you guys are posting a lot of stuff up there this year. So that's pretty cool.
That actually was, and I'd like to stop for just 1 second. I really want to say one thing. EAA is fantastic. The privilege to fly here is just, I mean, that in itself is just great. It's amazing. You don't go to air shows and get to fly and really kind of be part of the air show because a crowd is coming to watch these airplanes, you know, to see what they can do, and you feel like an air show pilot, you know? You can't get carried away with that because you might not do the right things, but just having that fun flying for people and enjoying yourself while you're at the air show is fantastic. But EA, that video you're talking about, EAA videos had asked me at one point when I was taxiing, you know, for another takeoff, had me stop, came over to the airplane, and they asked me if I would come over for an interview. And I said, sure, you know, nobody's ever asked me for an interview before, and this is my second one now. This is fantastic. But anyway, I went over later, and they did an interview with the camera, and they did a fantastic job of editing down that interview with me on camera, plus some of my flying when I was doing, you know, the flying in the pattern. And they made it come out looking so good. I, you know, because I know I said some silly things, but I think these movies are all made in the editing shop, because I said, really? That's fantastic. This came out great. So it's EAA.org, and click on EAVideos.org, and then click on the ultralights link.
EAAvideo.org and the ultralight link.
Yeah, and then you'll see a video of my airplane and me flying.
Perfect. Oh, that's awesome. So, because it is hard to picture through the radio, you know, just listening what an airplane looks like. So
yeah.
we're describing it with engine size and weight and
yeah.
you know, sitting on a boom so that people can picture it in their mind what
yeah.
what this
if they go there,
A20 Vista might be.
They'll get an idea of that A20 Vista, it's all white, has blue stripes on the side of the fuselage, and I have these big Yosemite Sam type droopy mustache whiskers, so they'll be able to pick us out.
How fast were you indicating airspeed wise on the way up here?
Okay, most of the time I flew at about 80 to 90 miles an hour indicated. And, you know, of course, your ground speed, your speed over the ground, how fast you're really traveling from one place A to B is based on your ground speed, and the wind is a big factor. So there were times I had a little push, not very many times, once in fact, but I had a little push. And I got my ground speed up to 100, 105, 106. But there was one point coming up from Champaign, Illinois, when I was teeth into the wind, when that cold front had first come through, and this was the Wednesday before AirVenture had even started. And I was right into that cold headwind, and I took some video of my GPS to show my ground speed at 38, 41 miles per hour.
Wow.
While I'm
the
still
Harleys
indicating.
On the highway were going
yeah.
past you.
Oh, yeah. When you see a guy stop for gas and pass you, then he stops for a sandwich, and then he passes you again, he's on the road, you know you're going slow.
But isn't, truly, Andy, though, isn't that part of what this is that you're doing? I mean, you're not just getting in your A20 Vista and using it simply as transportation to the world's greatest aviation event. Half of the adventure is flying your airplane here.
So you are absolutely correct. Most of the time, it has nothing to do with getting from A to B, because you want to be at B. It has to do with that in-between, that trip itself. This is a little different, because when you get here, I mean, things only get that much better. But the adventure for me as a pilot is the flying up here. And yeah, you know, what's the rush? I'm enjoying the scenery. I got an open cockpit. I could see, I'm flying low enough, I could see what's going on. I mean, occasionally I wave to people and they wave back. I could smell if somebody's got a cookout going, or if they're burning their, you know, leaves. So that's what it's all about.
It truly adds to the experience. It brings back memories of old movies where barnstormers are flying along beside the train and waving at the train engineer.
Okay, I did that and I got it on video. There was a huge cargo train coming up, and he was making a big looping turn, and I was like, we were dead on, same speed, and I just settled down a little bit, got up by the engine, and I got a little toot and a wave, and kept on going.
And truly, this is not the kind of thing that you can do in your Cessna 172 or your Piper Cherokee or your Beach Bonanza coming to AirVenture. This was quite an experience.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Something I thought about doing for quite a while. I've flown in here before in what I call heavy metal. For me, it was a Grumman Tiger. Great experience also. Different kind of flying, and loved that. But this is something that I kind of dreamt about and said to myself, I'm not getting any younger, you know, and, you know, there's no time like the present. I decided I'm going to do it. Called up some friends. Can you make it? Oh, I'd love to. Can't do it, you know. Well, I had, you know, that was kind of like, well, should I do it by myself? I'm like, why not? Because really, it's a series of these short flights, because I'm not doing it, you know, in one shot,
right.
You know. I'm
sure.
flying from here to there and zigzag it all over depending on weather, you know, changing my destination accordingly. But it's a series of short flights, so I think anybody can do it if they give themselves the time to do it. You know, if you're not going to try to rush and hold to a certain schedule, you can do it. Anybody can do it. If I could do it, anybody can do it.
That's great, Andy. Yeah. Andy, it's been nice being your second interview today.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And the next guy, I don't know, he's going to have to he's going to have to put something more on the table, you know, because now I'm a celebrity. But really, I want to thank you guys so much because you have been so nice to me, which, by the way, one last mention, along this trip, stopping at FBOs, at airports because of weather situations, and being held up at these airports because of weather, having to sit it out. Everybody along the way has treated me so nicely. It's been unbelievable. And I don't know, that's what makes this country great, I think.
Well, people. Andy, you are the perfect advocate for the Fun Fly Zone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jay Monji, we're on the fly. We're down at Ultralights in the Fun Fly Zone. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to EAA Radio.